Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're tuned in to the best radio station inside of my house in Bellamy, Texas. The Love Lift Me Up Show, featuring gospel artists, psalmists, authors, educators, and community leaders. Let's give it up for the new Love Lift Me Up Show with Dr. Love.
Good morning. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Love Lift Jesus Up Show, where Jesus shines with love. I am your host today, Alfreda Love, and this morning we have a very special guest, but first let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for last night's lying down, this morning's arising, Lord. We're asking you, would you bless this day to be productive, Lord, and we're asking you, would you just bless each guest who come on the show, their ministries, bless the words that come out of their mouth, where they may help other people, Heavenly Father. We just ask you that you continue to look over us, lead us, and guide us in the direction you would have us to go. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, the scripture for today comes from Matthew 23:39, and it reads, "For I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." I have read to you Matthew 23:39. May the Lord have a blessing to the hearers, doers, and seekers of his holy word. And now the moment you have been waiting for. My guest today is a singer, a songwriter, a wife, sister, preacher, teacher, mentor, friend, and most importantly, a vessel through the ministry of music. Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to welcome to some and present to others, Miss Psalmist Pineda. Miss Pineda, are you on the line?
I am.
Okay, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, ma'am. I have a couple of questions concerning your music ministry. And the first question is, what motivated you to pursue music?
It is a very easy answer. I've been singing since I was 3 years old. And my motivation in regards to pursuing praise and worship was simply God's urging and leading. He literally gave me a specific type of ministry, a specific type of flow while I was in Bible college. And for a few years, I did not sing publicly while I was just in a time of preparation and consecration before the Lord, and he literally moved me forward in ministry of music.
Oh, wow, great, okay. As a worship leader, what are the key principles to understand the difference between praise and worship?
Well, I think number one, the key is, I mean, we've heard before that praise is giving God adoration for what he has done. And people say worship is to worship him for who he is. And I do agree with both of those. But praise for me unlocks and gives us a power to have the right perspective in the midst of things that are going on. It causes us to remember what God has done. And worship is literally, biblically, worship, the Levites were set apart for the act of worship, for the act of covering and serving in the temple. And it says that they ministered unto the Lord day and night. And worship is a ministry unto the Lord. It is a 24-hour day, 7-day-a-week, perpetual adoration and lavishing of our love on him just for really who he is. And so that's what I would say is the difference from between praise and worship.
Excellent. That's a good analogy. Okay. Now, within your bio, you indicated that you had a CD entitled Speechless. Tell listeners a little bit about the inspiration behind that title, please.
Well, in actuality, my husband in 2011, who is also my pastor, came to me and stated that he believed it was time for me to do a CD. And so in obedience to my husband, I began to just submit myself to that assignment, and literally the next day I got into the car and I was driving, and the words just came, and the inspiration, motivation is that everything God has done in my life has literally caused me to stand in awe of him, to really have no words. I have been more than wowed by God. I have literally been left breathless in excitement and great expectation because of how he has moved in my life. And so simply the song just says that I stand in awe of you, amazed by all you do. My words cannot confess that I am speechless. And so there's no real words that can convey what God has been and done and continues to be for me. And I'm just really left in awe every minute of every day.
Amen. Yes, ma'am. I know exactly what you're talking about. Okay. Tell me a little bit about the fashion ministry, which consists of you working with the youth.
In 2006, God gave me a ministry for young women 18 through 29, actually, and it is called Fashion Sense. And it was and it is a ministry to help young women in making godly decisions. And so the word fashion is actually an acronym that every time they go to make a decision or a choice, they use that acronym to get to a proper place in God and to choose and to decide wisely. And so my pastor at the time, Pastor Frank Wilson, was just in need of something for that age group. And I had come to visit. I had gotten married and come to visit my home church and to see everyone. And it was after my first husband passed away, and so I came for a time of just relaxation. And so I was hearing his heart, and I was just agreeing with him, but I had no desire to create anything or write anything. And I remember going upstairs to the room I was staying in, because he was also my godfather. And as I went to lay down to go to sleep, and the Lord would not let me sleep, and he began to give me the words fashion sense, because the culture and the for that demographic at the time was so heavy into fashion, what things look like, what things seem like, what things appear to be versus the reality of what things really were. And so he broke that down. And I'm not a really big acronym person, so I knew it was the Lord, and just began to lay out. And so the ministry was once a week on a Friday night. Young women would come to a home, and we would just begin to minister to them. The amazing part was I never taught the class because I didn't live in California at the time that I began the ministry. So I assigned three women that I trusted who I had walked with, and so I just wrote the curriculum. And then every now and then when I came in to Los Angeles, I would conduct a class. But it had been very beneficial. A lot of our young ladies have gone on to pursue ministry, that they've just matured in their own selves and really have become solid biblical women. And so the ministry continues today and is available for churches, organizations. And again, it really is about reaching those 18 to 29, because those years are so critical in our becoming.
Okay. Now, have you had, like, a huge conference? Are you planning a conference for something like that with your ministry, with the fashion ministry?
I have not. I have not, but it is definitely something we want to do in the future. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. All right. Now, you indicated, I desire to see God's heart revealed to humanity in a way where people step into the freedom of God and not the traditions of the church, end quote. How do you view the transformation of people's hearts from this statement?
Well, I believe that one thing that we have not really done in the past, and even in some places in our present, is that a lot of people have misunderstood that the church is not a building, but we are the church. In the Bible, the church meant the people, the ecclesia, the called out ones. And I think a lot of times we have defined and confined our lives, our journey with the Lord to just the local assembly. And so a lot of people have not gone beyond the four walls. A lot of people have been content with the level of maturity or lack of maturity that they've had, and they have not really identified that they are the church, that Matthew 28 says that we're to go into all the world. And so there's a freedom that comes when you realize who you are and whose you are. And it's not just to the building, not just to a vision, but it's a kingdom agenda and a kingdom mindset, that we know that the kingdom is nigh us and it's near us and it's here, and that God has asked us to bring the will of the kingdom to earth. And so I pray consistently that humanity would shift and recognize the divine nature that's in us in not just a casual way, but the power that we possess and the authority and the dominion that God has given us to walk in this earth and to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, not to proclaim the just the vision of the house that we serve, or to proclaim the name of our pastor, but to proclaim Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, that we really would not be ashamed of the gospel.
That's right. That's right. Okay. What are some of your short-term and long-term goals for the ministry?
Short-term goal. Well, one of the things I always have to let people know is that I'm a pastor first. And so my short-term goal is the same as my long-term goal. The Lord has charged me, whether I'm singing, I'm teaching, or preaching, to create an atmosphere where people encounter him. A lot of us have an experience-based Christianity, which causes us to be moved by this, our senses, by the performances, instead of being moved by his presence. And when we encounter God, the word encounter just simply means to meet him. A lot of us have yet to meet Jesus. We have had an experience with him. We've had an experience based on someone else having an intimate relationship with him, but we have not encountered him. And it's when the body of Christ encounters him that we will see a profound shift in the atmosphere, and that we will see a profound shift in the lives of the believer. And so that is the charge that God has given me, that whether it's singing, preaching, or teaching, that I create an atmosphere where people encounter him. And so my short-term and my long-term goals are the same, that the souls, that humanity will encounter the Lord, and that then we would rise up and really take our place and really proclaim his good news.
That's right. And when you say create an atmosphere in which we get into the presence of the Lord or meet the Lord, can you just give a little brief description of what you mean by that for some of the listeners?
Yes, a lot of us have are very clear with the program.
Right.
We go to churches that have programs, that have a set order of things. And I think a lot of us have had the experience of what we would call a high service, or the experience of the presence of God that has overtaken and overshadowed the program. And when we stop worrying about the program and allow God's presence to reign fully in that place, then more people will actually encounter him. They will meet him. They won't meet the music. They won't meet the praise and worship team. They won't meet the pastor. They won't meet the leaders or the auxiliary. They will meet God. And when we meet God, then it makes the other things, the events, the conferences, it shifts our perspective. And so we're no longer lazy. We're no longer procrastinating. We're no longer content in the sense of, you know, we need to be satisfied in God, but not just content with a mediocre Christianity. But we become totally surrendered and sold out for him.
Excellent. Okay. Now, what is your belief concerning the aesthetic worship and praise, and are they different?
Now, when you say aesthetic, what do you mean? I just want to make sure.
Like the beauty of praise. When we, like kind of what you were saying, when we get into the presence of God, and do you see where I'm going? We get into the presence of God, and we go into this worship mode. It's just beautiful because, like you said, you are intimate with God at that point.
Yes. And you were asking me, did you ask, I'm sorry, I just want to make sure, you said the difference or?
Yeah, are they different? Do you believe that it's different? Because we talked about praise and worship earlier.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And there were consequences.
Right. What I believe is when God's presence is in the building, the only difference is what is coming out of our mouths. it is not that the atmosphere is different, because God's presence is beautiful whether it's in praise or whether it's in worship. And I think so many of us have relegated praise to the fast song and worship to the slow song. And we have to remember that if there was no song, could you still praise him and could you still worship him? It's out of the fruit of your lips, it is out of the words of your mouth that we praise the Lord and that we worship him. Worship is not a song, but singing is a is one way of worshiping God. And so the beauty of God comes when we are a humble people that seek his holiness, whether in praise or whether in worship. It says that, you know, without holiness, no one can see God. And so my husband says a lot of times that we have a lot of hands being lifted, but if there's no holiness, then you cannot see him. And so a lot of us are not experiencing the beauty and the glory and the presence of God. And when the presence of God comes, it renders you ruined. In Isaiah 6:1, it says when he saw the Lord, it says that he was ruined in his presence, which means that our flesh cannot stand, our flesh cannot dwell. And so even out of our mouths, when we're ruined, there is a praise that comes out of the spirit man that begins to thank him and cry holy like the elders do around his throne. There is a worship that comes that lavishes its affection on its creator. Anything that is created, and we are creations, and we have been created by the creator, but anything that has been created, its natural response is to worship its creator. And so naturally, when we are in the presence of God, there is nothing else that we can do. And that is how we will see and separate the difference between those who are really in his presence. And I believe the aesthetics, the beauty of God, the grace of God, the loveliness of God is so profound in that when we continue to tap into that, and the way to do that is to encounter him, because once you encounter and met somebody and you're intimately acquainted with them, you know how to get right back into that conversation. And worship and praise is a conversation with the Lord.
Now let's reflect, thank you for that. Now let's reflect back on some of your messages as far as your ministry and preaching and teaching to the children of God.
Mm-hmm.
What would you say your message is most of the time? And I know it changes according to the unction of the Spirit, but what do you really want the people to understand about your message when you preach and teach?
Encounter. Encounter is my message. No matter what the topic is, no matter what the theme is, it is getting humanity to get the body of Christ, because my I know that I'm called to teach and educate and to mature the body. It is encounter. It is intimacy with Christ. It is key to everything that we do, everything that we are. And from Genesis to Revelations, we see the intimacy that man had with God that brought man into a place of saying that he chooses him, that he will follow him, that he will serve him, that he will be surrendered. And so no matter what, all of it, from Genesis to Revelation, again, is about the encounter. And so my message is very clear. It is to encounter him.
Okay. All right. Excellent encounter. That's good. All right. What projects do you have going on at this time?
At this time, I am just closing out the new year with my family. I've been traveling a lot. And so in the new year, launching our new website, which will have all three entities of the ministry. And so we have Authentic the Movement, which is the music. And then I have Authentic Living, which is teaching, all my teaching, and then Authentic Definition, which is all writing. And so working to complete a book this coming year. Probably by the end of the year, we'll be working on another CD. And I do a monthly fellowship called Authentic Living, Discovering God's Heart, where I'm teaching. And so the goal is to have that in three different states on a Saturday morning once a month.
Oh, that's good. Always keep your hands busy. That's excellent. Okay. Is there anything else you would like to share?
I'm just grateful for this opportunity. And just, you know, my desire for the end of the year, I know that so many people are trying to figure out what their resolution is. And a lot of times, you know, it has to center around our weight or, you know, looking different or doing something that, really pleases the flesh. And I'm really praying that in this new year we just seek to obey and follow him. I really believe there's a shift in the body of Christ that God is really calling us to the area of discipleship, to really walk as disciples. And disciples observe and monitor one's life. And it's time for us to really observe and monitor the life of Christ, to really follow him, to pick up our crosses daily. And I think that when people really get a biblical blueprint of discipleship, they'll realize that they have not been disciples. They've been pew fillers. They've been believers. But the disciple's life is so much different than the person who just comes in on a Sunday and leaves out. And I really believe that God is calling the body of Christ now to a level of discipleship that we've never known before, a closeness that we've hungered for and we've sung about and we've preached about, but now that we'll be able to grasp and really live. And so my prayer is that people would accept that come, because every disciple came with God saying come. And there's a dropping of everything. There's a surrender of everything, and not just an area of our life, but every area of your life. And it will require your entire life. But the reward to be with him, to know him, to know for sure that you're going to be with him in eternity is so great.
That's right. Okay. Now, you indicated you have a lot of projects and a lot of upcoming activities and events in 2014, God's will. How can listeners contact you?
They can contact me by our website, which is AuthenticTheMovement.org, or Kai Pineda, K-A-I-P-I-N-E-D-A, .com. And then if they'd like to contact me for bookings, they can contact me also at the website, but it's Kai Pineda Worship. That's K-A-I-P-I-N-E-D-A-W-O-R-S-H-I-P @gmail.com.
Okay. And Ms. Kai, I really appreciate your time this morning. I know that your schedule is very hectic. And once again, please stay in contact with me, and may God bless your ministry and your family and everyone else.
Oh, thank you so much for taking the time out and us finally getting this together. It has been my pleasure. You are an awesome and beautiful woman of God, and I will stay in contact.
Thank you so much. Have a blessed day.
You too. Bye-bye. All
right. Bye-bye. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we would like to thank Ms. Kai Pineda, Psalmist Kai Pineda, for coming on to the ministry in order to share her ministry. And I have a couple of announcements, and I'm going to be quick because I know a lot of individuals are trying to get off to work. First of all, I would like to thank God for blessing me to wake up this morning this early. Amen. Praise God. Okay. Attention, attention, attention. Be sure to continue to uplift your family and friends by asking them to check out blogtalkradio.com/freetolove. That's blogtalkradio.com/FREDALOVE. The fashion line, the fashion line, the fashion line is here. Fashionsbylove.com is here. Be sure to check that out. Thank you so much. Gospel artists, artists, promoters, publishers, actors, actresses, screenwriters, children of God, community leaders. Please, 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 if you are interested and want to come on to this ministry to share your gifts, please do so. In sharing your gifts, I always pray that God continue to bless your ministry, and not only bless your ministry, but allow you to touch others as well, because that's what ministry is all about. In addition to that, I would like to share a question that I posed on Facebook today, and my Facebook and my contact information is actually Facebook, ALFREDALOVE, or FREDALOVE. I would love to connect with you as well. Or you can email me at emonya_love@yahoo.com. I did appreciate two individuals who sent me some CDs on yesterday, and they sent them through the mail, and I appreciate you so much. I also have it on my webpage. I have Miss Burrell, who sent not Miss Kim Burrell, the other Burrell, Miss Gigi Burrell. I have her new CD, her new single that she sent, and I have the Christian Brothers Restoration, and we will start playing music in 2014, gospel music only in 2014, God's will. I would also like to pose a question to you that I posed this morning, and do you believe in life after death? Jesus spoke of the coming when there was water, but the next time it is referenced as it being fire. We know of only two comings, but why do you believe Jesus said, and the dead in Christ shall rise first? We know that this is applicable to the first coming, but the second? Well, the Bible never mentioned of a third coming. We have experienced the first, water. Second is fire, but no mention of the third. And we all know that we have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But in the coming of Jesus Christ, we only have two comings. What? This is the question I want you to think about, and we're going to actually answer this, God's will. I'll be back on Saturday, okay? What do you believe through your study that the dead in Christ shall be the first to rise when we only know of their being two times when Jesus comes? Once again, what do you believe through your study? This is not something that we're making up. We want to make sure that we stay in the Word of God when we answer these questions because we're trying to grow. What do you believe through your study that the dead in Christ shall be the first to rise when we only know of there being two times when Jesus comes? And the first time it was water, and God indicated the second coming is the fire. We know that there is a rapture, and when people are raptured, they're taken up in the air. And I want to make this clear while the Lord has this on my mind, and I have a couple of minutes so that you can understand this question for those of you who study the Bible and you're in the Word of God. And those of you who are being introduced to this, when we talk about the coming, I want to be very clear. A lot of people have been on TV. A lot of people have, and they'll continue to do it, to say that the world is about to end, and people will start going to the store getting, you know, waters and juices and everything. People, when it's our time, it's our time, okay? But the thing about it is the second coming is not where all of the earth is destroyed. Everyone has a second coming. Okay, you know, our days are numbered. Everyone has a second coming. So it's not like Jesus is going to say, I'm going to come on this day and everybody's going to be sent to heaven or hell. That's not it. You live your life through Christ, but everyone has an appointed time. It's kind of like when you go to the doctor. The doctor doesn't call every patient that's in the lobby waiting. He calls you, or she calls you. She calls your name. And then when your name is called, you answer. Well, that's how it is with Jesus. Amen. So I don't want anybody to be startled. When you see these people on TV, I'm just going to give you a heads up. They'll be here in 2014 and so on, even when I'm 100 years old. They'll be here still talking about the end of the world. It's individualized. That's why we were made. That's why God made us all different, because it's individualized. We're different people. We're not carbon copied. And so when we talk about the rapture, we're not talking about Jesus coming and getting everybody at one time. Now, things happen where groups of people, things happen with groups of people, but we're talking about the second coming. The second coming is when we leave this earth and go somewhere else, okay? So don't be startled. Don't be afraid when these people get on TV, and they get a lot of recognition because media will never pick up, or sometimes they don't pick up, like, the spirituality part. They'll pick up these people who get on TV saying that, you know, God is coming in 2 days or 3 days. Nobody knows the hour or time when Jesus Christ is coming, you know. So just keep that in mind when asking that question. I want you to have a blessed day. I'm so excited to be able to say have a blessed day today, because it's like really early in the morning. And on Saturday, be sure to join me. I will have one of the Sunday Best contestants, Miss Birch. She was a Sunday Best contestant for season 2. She will come and share her ministry with us on Saturday, so be sure to do that. Then on Sunday, and I'm looking at my calendar, on Sunday I need to confirm, yes, on Sunday I'll have Elder Perry Smith, who will come in his own way with the Word of God and also come and talk about his ministry. Then then I'll have one more speaker probably that Thursday, and then I will come back on God's Will on the 22nd, which is that Sunday, God's Will. So you're going to have a little break. We're breaking as in you'll have time to catch up on all of the ministries that are online. But once again, I appreciate God. I appreciate my family and all of you who are on today. It's like 20 people. All of you who woke up with me this morning, I appreciate that. If someone asks you what that big smile is all about, you tell them that love lifted you up because God is love. Till next time, take care of yourselves and each other. Have a blessed day, and do well with whatever you do today. Thank you so much. Bye-bye, everybody.